And it's our pleasure to bring in our friend Kenny Albert, who did a brilliant job on the Stanley Cup Final and throughout the playoffs with NBC. Kenny, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How's our guy Ben Bowman doing?
Well, I spent the last month with Ben. For the listeners who are not familiar, Penn State graduate, terrific player on the club hockey team back in the late 80s, early 90s, and he's been an integral part of not only my broadcasts over the last 30 years, but has worked throughout the years with Doc Emmerich and Steve Levy and Mike Tirico and so many of the other top announcers in all sports around North America. So we were traveling together during the last two rounds of the playoffs, and now probably won't see him for a little bit of time.
In fact, we've gone from me announcing his games when he played to you now working with him. So that's where you're in the transition of life. Which does bring up the fact that the Canadian border, of course, was closed. The NHL had to put together an agreement to allow travel. What was that like for you traveling back and forth from Canada, and what restrictions did you have in Canada that you did not have in Florida?
Well, we actually had the same restrictions in both Montreal and Tampa during the Stanley Cup Final. The NHL did a terrific job, as was the case in the bubbles in Edmonton and Toronto last year, and setting everything up and keeping everybody safe. And this year was a little different because the teams played their games, obviously, in their home arenas. And the first two rounds, the Canadian teams played one another, so it was not an issue. But once Montreal advanced and played the Vegas Golden Knights in the semifinal and then the final round against Tampa Bay, I did not work that third round series. So the restrictions for us began the day before Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, and it was basically the agreement the league made with the Canadian government in order to allow all of us to travel to Canada and work immediately. Because for the common folk who are not working hockey games, there's a 14-day quarantine if you travel from the U.S. Up to Canada. We obviously had to work the game the next day, so the rules that were set in place were basically in both Tampa and Montreal. Aside from games and practices, we really couldn't leave the hotel. You had to order room service. You had to order food in. Couldn't go for extended walks. Couldn't sit out by the pool. The way I looked at it, Steve, if you told me I would have the opportunity to call the Stanley Cup Final, but I couldn't go to a restaurant for a couple of days, where do I sign up for that? So,
right. Exactly.
From my perspective, it was not really an issue. We had 2 days off in Montreal last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and the hotel provided an outdoor terrace on the roof, and we were able to spend 3-4 hours up there. So we did get some fresh air. The hotel gym was accessible to us as part of the NHL traveling party at certain times. So, like I said, it wasn't all that bad. The trade-off, the opportunity to call the Stanley Cup Final, that outweighed everything. So if I couldn't eat in a restaurant for a few days, not really a big deal. As far as the travel, we were on an NHL charter flight from Tampa to Montreal between games 2 and 3, and then from Montreal to Tampa back the other way prior to game 5. So that was actually pretty simple.
I think the first time the country really got a chance to see Andre Vasilevsky was when the Lightning played the Blackhawks in the final, and he had to fill in for a game in the finals or a couple games in the finals because of an injury. And he gave a really terrific account of himself. What has turned him into a special goaltender?
You're absolutely right, Steve. I remember watching that series on television when he entered and played real well against the Blackhawks when he replaced Ben Bishop, who had some injury issues throughout those playoffs in 2015. But you know, as Eddie Olczyk and Brian Boucher mentioned during Game 5, I totally agreed that Vasilevsky should be the Conn Smythe winner. Nikita Kucherov was tremendous. Braden Point scored a goal in 9 straight games earlier in the playoffs. But when you look at Vasilevsky's body of work, 5 straight shutouts in series-clinching games is incredible. 1-0 games in both the semifinal round this year, Game 7 against the Islanders, 1-0 in Game 5 against Montreal. So it's not like he had it easy. His team didn't score 3 or 4 goals in those games. They were tight games right down the wire. So, you know, he's big. He's an excellent skater. He blocks so much of the net. He's so confident. Really anything you look for in a goalie. And he's the first since Ken Dryden to win back-to-back cups, playing every minute of every game for his team over those two playoffs. He has a great team in front of him. You know, you talk about Victor Hedman, who won the Conn Smythe last year. Ryan McDonough, who was amazing in the playoffs. Eric Chernak, Sergachev, you know, right on down the line. The entire group of defensemen, Jan Ruda. They were just tremendous in front of Vasilevsky. And then up front, you have, I think, the deepest group of forwards in the league. There's a reason why John Cooper started his so-called third line in every game over the last three rounds. Yeah. Blake Coleman with Barclay Goodrow and Yanni Gourde. You have Kucherov and Point on that first line with Andre Palat, and then the Stamkos unit, Alex Killorn. So, and even the fourth line. You know, you look at what Pat Maroon and Matthew Joseph, Tyler Johnson were able to do after the Killorn injury. So, just such a well-balanced team. They will have some salary cap issues moving forward, but certainly well-deserving of winning back-to-back Stanley Cup championships.
When Bobby Orr scored the game-winner against the St. Louis Blues in 70, Harry Sinden tells the story, the first thing he looked at was, did Eddie Westfall drop back to the point to cover for Orr? Okay? First thing he looked at. Right. Now let's bring it up to now. The Tampa Bay defensemen get deep on plays. I mean, there are times they're right there in the thick of it. I mean, they scored a goal with a defenseman deep in on a play. I think it was up, may have been up in Montreal it happened. But my point is, what does it tell you about the forwards that are willing to not only attack but cover up when the defense is able to do what they do?
Right. We did see that throughout the playoffs, especially in the last two rounds. I didn't work any Lightning games in person over the first two rounds, but you're absolutely right, Steve. You know, whether it was Hedman or McDonough or Ruder, Sergachev, Chernak, David Savard, they would be so comfortable in that rotation where the forwards would drop back and help out. That's a great point about Harry Sinden and Bobby Orr and Eddie Westfall. I actually referenced that goal. I thought the record would be broken in Game 4. There are 17 overtime-winning cup-winning goals in history. You know, 17 overtime goals have won the Stanley Cup. And the quickest of those 17 was Bobby Orr, 40 seconds in, which I mentioned prior to the overtime in Game 4 because the Lightning were on a power play. Yep. And during the break between the third period and overtime, I was with Ben Bulma and Eddie Olczyk, and we all thought it was about 95% that the Lightning would score during that power play with Shea Weber in the box for three more minutes. And we thought it would be quick. And as it turned out, the Canadians did a great job. They killed off the penalty and wound up getting the overtime goal from Josh Anderson. But Bobby Orr's goal in 1970 was 40 seconds in, and that's the quickest overtime Stanley Cup clinching goal in history.
Montreal has not been on this stage for a long time since they won the Cup in 93. You and I both know that they were almost always on that stage up until 1993. I know you were confined to a hotel, but what was the feeling that you got as to how that city reacted to having someone in the Cup Final again?
Well, it was so exciting to be involved in a Cup Final in Montreal. Now, was it the same as if we were able to go outside and there were 18,000 people in the building? No. They announced 3,500 at both games 3 and 4. Eddie and Pierre and Brian all mentioned this during the telecast. It felt like there were at least 7,000 or 8,000 in the building for both games. It was loud, and if you were there, you probably would have thought the same thing. Now, I don't know the exact number, but it was a great atmosphere, especially Game 4 when Montreal won it in overtime. The building exploded. I spent some time at the hotel watching the 93 Stanley Cup Final Series. Those games were replayed on television while we were in Montreal, so exciting to be a part of it, and couldn't get the full effect since we weren't allowed really outside.
Right.
But just exciting to be in Montreal, and you know, in particular during a Stanley Cup final, I think we'll all look back and say, "Wow, that was pretty cool." You know, even with some of the restrictions, you know, Montreal, you have to give them credit for what they did in the playoffs. They were the 18th best team during the regular season. They had fewer points than a couple of teams that missed the playoffs, the New York Rangers and the Dallas Stars. And you could arguably say they were in a weaker division. But they got it done. They came back from 3-1 down against the Maple Leafs. They swept Winnipeg. I was shocked when they beat Vegas. I had come off the Vegas-Colorado series, and I didn't think there was any way that, that Vegas would lose to Montreal, but Carey Price was outstanding. They won some big overtime games and found themselves in the Cup Final for the first time in 28 years.
End of an era because NBC is now done with hockey, at least for now. What was it like? Everything that they put in, all the innovations. You talked about Brian and Pierre being between the glass. That's part of it. Outdoor games, New Year's Day games, things like that. What was it like being around that crew, knowing down the stretch that this was going to be it?
Well, first of all, so proud and honored to be a part of it. Everything you just mentioned. For 16 years, NBC did 80, 90, 100 regular season games every year. Every playoff game was televised in North America, in the U.S., which had never happened before. Sam Flood creating the inside the glass position initially for Pierre and then Brian and Joe Micheletti and so many others. I think that led to about 50 jobs around the U.S. and Canada, because most teams now have an inside the glass position, either a former player or a reporter. Every network in the U.S. and Canada has somebody inside the glass. The introduction of the outdoor games, the Winter Classic, the Stadium Series. Doc Emmerich for 15 of the 16 years, arguably the greatest hockey play-by-play announcer in the United States of all time. So a lot of fond memories, great people. On the analyst side, Eddie, Brian, Pierre, Joe Micheletti, Keith Jones right on down the line. And, it was sad, down the stretch during those final games. Now, for some of us, we will move on and work for other networks, but really felt for the people behind the scenes, the production folks who, again, most of them will stay at NBC and work other sports, but they were so passionate about hockey and put the last 10, 15, 16 years into it. So these things do go in cycles. Who knows what will happen 7 years from now? We've seen it in other sports. I was the beneficiary, along with a number of other young announcers, when Fox stole the NFC rights away from CBS back in 1993-94. So we do see it happen. Rights fees change, but just a tremendous job by NBC over the last 16 years. And like I said, so proud and honored to be a part of the group.
We've seen what Turner has done with baseball, with what Turner especially has done with the NBA. What's the level of excitement of what Turner can do with the NHL?
Well, a lot of excitement. Jeff Zucker is a huge sports fan. Having come from NBC, his first job was as an Olympic researcher at NBC, and he's at the top of the food chain at Turner, and just a wonderful guy. Had the opportunity to spend some time with him last week at an event. Turner has great people on the management side, and you mentioned what they've been able to do through the years with the NBA and Major League Baseball. Couldn't be more excited to be a part of the new era, along with Eddie Olczyk. And I know Wayne Gretzky was announced. It was announced that he'll be one of the studio analysts. I know some others will be announced shortly. So it will be a lot of fun to be a part of the new team. Wish ESPN well, as they have the other half of the package. So it'll be here before you know it. It's a short off season this year, Steve.
Yeah, it is a short off season. I mean, well, it's always a short off season for you anyway. you're going to go from this right into the NFL coming up. But I have to ask you about your dad. Speaking of Turner, speaking of NBC, it was an incredible send off. I mean, I thought Reggie Miller was great. The guys in the studio were great. What were your thoughts sitting there watching Dad for the final time on national TV do something like that after a career that goes beyond words?
Yeah, Reggie did do a great job. I was in my hotel room during the quarantine in Montreal watching that final game. And as I'm sure many people felt, as the Atlanta Hawks were making a comeback and cut the Milwaukee lead to 7 or 8, I was thinking, maybe this won't be the last game. There might be one more. But as it turns out, the Bucks held on and won the series in 6. I never thought he would utter the word retirement, never thought he would ever retire. But seems really at peace, really happy with the decision. Celebrated a big birthday last month, turned 80 in June. And, the last year and a half has been challenging for everybody, but from a broadcast standpoint, he worked a lot of games off monitors, as I did and so many other broadcasters around the country did as well. And I know he was so excited to get back into the arena for the All-Star game back in February and then for the playoffs. So I think that was a great way to end. I'm not sure it would have had the same feeling for him had his last game been in a studio all by himself. You know, I enjoyed seeing some of the old highlights and the photos that were included during that final piece on Turner. But like I said, I never thought he would ever retire or use the word retirement, but seems real happy with the decision.
I remember years ago when Gil Santos retired after doing the Patriots for 40-some-odd years, he sent me a note. He says, "Steve, I retired, and I found out I'm really good at it." All right. So well, what's really cool is your dad goes out on top.
You know, and over the last year, we've seen Mike Emmerich, Dick Stockton, so many of the greats, the all-time greats, decide to retire. Vin Scully a couple of years ago. And, you know, so happy for all of them that they're able to go out on their terms and not be forced out and still have time to enjoy life.
Well put. Kenny, it's always a pleasure. You know that you're awesome, but always just great to talk to all the time on anything. Thank you so much.
Well, Steve, really appreciate it. Enjoyed catching up, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Sounds great, Kenny. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.